Welcome to the Thought Police. If you thought we disappeared, we hadn't disappeared. I disappeared. Kevin O'Sullivan has been here all the time. Kevin, good to see you, man.
Good to see you, Mike. Where the fuck have you been?
Well, listen, I can't say too much, obviously, because it's been a bit of a secret and nobody's really been sure what was going on. But I can tell you, without having to go into great personal detail, was I had a little bit of an operation that I had to do, and I knew I had to do it in September. I took some time off. I booked some time off because I figured I would need that time to recover. I did take that time off. And when I came back, apparently, I made a bit of a cunt of myself. I came back too soon, right?
And not so, for the first time.
Yeah, exactly right. So I've got all sorts of people all over me like a rash saying, you've got to take more time off. And I'm like, I can't fucking take more time off. There's too much going on. Yeah. You know, there's a fucking war in the Middle East. There's fucking new shows being launched right, left and centre here at Talk TV. I can't take it off. And eventually the doctor just went, look, you're going to have to do it. Otherwise, you'll never get better.
Yeah, well, you're an extraordinary...
And he was right.
You're an extraordinary man, mate, but you're not fucking superhuman.
But you know...
And by the way, though, mate, but you're fucking off. Basically, everybody, just so as you know... He was a bit under the weather. That's why he was off. Fucking shit we had to deal with while you were off. He's been sacked. He's been suspended. Yeah. There's something going on. I kept saying, he's not very well.
Yes.
You've heard of sick leave.
Right.
Fucking conspiracy theorists going crazy.
But you know, the funny thing is, though, you learn about, and you have to be... I mean, I take my hat off to a lot of the people that were asking those questions because they missed me, and I appreciate that. And it's very nice. And the thing is, you know, there are two different kinds, aren't there? The people who genuinely do miss you and are actually really concerned, and then the ones who actually
want to cause trouble.
Just want to cause trouble and go, he's up to.
Yeah, he's going to GB News. He's done a deal. We can tell.
He's been told.
This is exactly what happened before. You know, it was all bollocks. But particularly me, those of us.
But thank you for putting up with it.
Well, anyway. All those of us had to fend it all off. Of course, it was a difficult tightrope to walk because I didn't want to intrude on your privacy.
But that's the trouble. Well, you know, the original thing was, right, I was going to do this whole business that I had to do.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know, it ended up being quite a major operation, but it wasn't anything, you know, life-threatening or anything like that. But I was planning to not have anybody know anything about it.
I know.
Because the idea was I was going to have this operation. And then guess what fucking happened? The doctor who was due to do the operation fucking got COVID. So he was like, they had to cancel it for a week. And I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. And so then I had to tell everybody, including, you already knew anyway, but including all the people who'd been moved around to cover for me, because we had to fucking do it the following week instead. So as a result of my cunning plan to do this all in secret, now the whole fucking world knows. You know.
Front page news.
Anyway,
it's good to have you back, mate.
It's good to be back. Apologies to our very loyal Thought Police audience who have waited very patiently for an update on the whole Thought Police view of the world, because the Thought Police view of the world is very important this day, certainly because of all the massive craziness that's going on. And I think we should kick off. You've told the story already on our show about Tim Miles and Wendy Henry outing the tube driver for shouting free Palestine.
Yeah, well,
he's now been suspended. But some incredible shit is going on around London, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, these are our friends. Wendy Henry used to be the editor of the News of the World. Tim Miles used to be news editor of the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
Both very esteemed journalists.
Very much so.
They're married.
Funnily enough, I last saw them when I just first came back from being off. Which I could say may have contributed to the problems.
Yeah, when we went on the piss.
Yeah, we went
just
on the piss
after your operation.
And had a massive row in the fucking restaurant.
Doctors don't recommend it. You came back 2 days after surgery on the piss. But anyway, Tim and Wendy, because Wendy is Jewish, and she wanted to come down and see what was going on last weekend in London, because there was a big pro-Palestinian demonstration, which I saw myself. I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Yeah.
Anyway, they
got... You've got to tell us about your drinks bill as well.
Yeah, I will, yeah. They got on the tube to come down to central London, and they could hardly believe their ears. It was packed out with all these people on the way to the Palestine March, which snaked through central London. And suddenly the fucking tube driver's going, I wish I was with you. Good luck on the march. Free Palestine. Free Palestine. This is a Transport for London tube driver. Mm. So Tim, whose notebook is never closed, got off the fucking train and he phoned up his mate on Mail Online and said, this is fucking outrageous. Yeah. So the bloke goes, file me over.
Right.
So Tim filed the story. Within seconds, Mail Online was running it. All the other Sunday papers picked up and all over Sunday Telegraph.
It was still front page news.
Sunday Times. The Sun splashed on it on Monday. Now, the scandal here was As this story unfolded on Sunday, all the papers got in touch with TfL, Transport for London, who's his employer, run by our friend Sadiq Khan, the London mayor, of course, and said, what are you going to do about this driver? And they said, we don't know who it was. Can't find him.
Yeah, right.
So I said...
What a load of bollocks, by the way.
So I said, and I put it on Twitter and everything, I said, my friends are on the train.
Yeah.
They can tell you exactly what time it happened, exactly where they were when it happened. So you can't tell us you can't find this fucking driver.
Listen, we've all seen the take the Pelham 123. We know that they know exactly where every fucking train is, wherever it fucking goes.
If they were in a state of confusion, Tim and Wendy... could help them.
Yes.
Anyway, they saw all this, and by Monday, they had to say, all right, we've found him, we've suspended him. I don't like calling for people to be sacked, but maybe he should be sacked.
Well, I mean, maybe they should take him off his duties. I mean, somebody asked the question.
Well, he is suspended.
Yeah, but I mean, in terms of permanently, so you can't drive
sack
a train.
Well, sack the fucker.
You can't drive a train anymore, but you can clean the fucking station or something like that.
Well, sack the fucker. You know, the point is, and guess what TfL are saying? We're investigating. What the fuck is to investigate? There's nothing to investigate. Either you sack him or you suspend him, but that you don't need to investigate this. It's open and shut.
Right. But also, as I said to you the other day, there's no question that they tried to busk it. They fucking tried to make sure that
they tried to get away with it because they thought
this is now the first kind of refuge of most of these public sector organisations, particularly if there's a fucking union involved, because all they do is try to go, oh, we're not going to bow down to the Daily Mail, we're not going to kowtow to
the media. That's it.
You know? And then somebody with a brain says, boys, you better get this sorted, otherwise you're all going to be in the shit.
Yeah. And TfL, like the police, like the BBC, Sadiq, they're all pro-Palestine.
Yeah, yeah.
And they don't like Israel. But so anyway, meanwhile, in another part...
They make it so bloody obvious don't they?
Yeah, of course they fucking do. Especially the BBC.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, in another part of town, I innocently went down to central London, to the West End, to try to do a bit of clothes shopping. I wanted to get a jacket. Fucking found one.
Does anybody still go clothes shopping?
Me. Yeah, I hate online shopping.
On a day when there's a massive Palestinian boat.
Yeah, well, I didn't know. So my wife had...
top news jockey.
So I said, well, we'll go down to New Bond Street, walk down to Bond Street from the tube station there. And my wife said, no, Green Park is close. So I said, no, it's not. She said, yeah, it is.
Mm.
I said, well, who cares, all right, it's equidistant, we'll go to Green Park.
Yeah.
So we go down to Green Park station, we come out, it's fucking all hell, bro. Hey, Ray, this fucking great march.
But they're not in support of Hamas, though.
No, not at all. No. So it's this fucking great pro-Palestinian march, 100,000 people snaking past the Ritz and on towards Piccadilly Circus down to Whitehall. And they're all, you know, like loads of them going, jihad, jihad, jihad. I didn't see many coppers, but what coppers I did see were just smiling on benignly.
Because they alone know, the police in this country, particularly in London, that jihad doesn't mean anything bad. It's just an expression of your faith in Islam.
Bullshit. You know. It's a call to holy war. And in that context, it's a call to holy war against Israel and therefore a call to violence. That is against the fucking law and the fucking police and that fuckwit Sir Mark Rowley, the chief constable of the Met Police, the London Police Force. He said, well, what we did is we got some experts in, because jihad can have different meanings. As you say, Mike, there is a meaning
but
of
these
it.
These are like apologies for terrorism.
There is a meaning of it, which is a call to inner spiritual conflict to make you a better Muslim.
Yeah, right.
As I was saying, so in this context, a fucking march against Israel, they're not going, you know, what do we want? A call to inner spiritual conflict to be a better Muslim. When do we want it? Now!
Right.
Bollocks.
Yeah.
It was a call to violence against Israel. And Mark Rowley saying that's why we didn't arrest anyone. What a fucking arsehole.
No.
Do your fucking job. Enforce the law. These people were breaking the law. And there's another organisation, the fucking police. They're Palestine supporters because that's the left-wing position.
Exactly right. And of course, it's not going to get any better, is it? It's going to get worse because after what happened last weekend and the weekend before, this weekend will probably be another one. We're going to have Remembrance Sunday coming up pretty soon, and they're going to have to get the fucking top of this, because otherwise there's going to be a massive problem. We've already seen people climbing up on statues and kind of swinging Palestinian flags. Can you imagine if something like that happened on Remembrance Sunday, and they basically desecrated the fucking war dead, which would be horrendous.
Yeah,
but of course, in the new world of the left, You're allowed to piss all over the history of this country because apparently we did terrible things to people that lived in the Middle East and Africa during the Second World War. So we shouldn't be celebrating it. Well, fuck that as well, because we are celebrating and commemorating the people who died for this country. Yeah, if you live in this country, you don't want to fucking die for it, you can fuck off.
Right? Yeah, no, exactly. Anyway, I've got a cross Piccadilly.
Anyway, you didn't mean to get too political.
Yeah, I'm with you all the way, mate. Absolutely. And I think all these organisations, the BBC, the police, TFL, you name it, they all support Palestine. And that is a fucking disgrace.
Yeah.
They should be balanced. They shouldn't support anyone. Anyway, me and Henrietta, we get across Piccadilly.
Oh, yeah.
So we have to, like, barge our way through this fucking great march, go to Bond Street, and I went to this shop, to Ralph Lauren, to see if I could find some jackets. The one I really like...
cost you a few bucks.
Well, I didn't fucking buy one in the end, and I'll tell you why. I look at the first one. Oh, I like that one. Oh, it's £2,100. That was my jacket. Whoa. I said, I'm not fucking buying that. That one I like even more. It's a jacket, £4,200. So
Jesus.
I bought a couple of shirts, gave up with that. And then we went back to the march and, across Piccadilly again. I said to Henry, oh, fuck all this.
Mm.
Let's take some refuge.
Yes.
So we went into the Ritz and went to the Rivoli bar there, the cocktail bar there. Sat down, very lovely bar.
Was it busy?
You could see all these Palestine flags going past outside, the window.
Yeah. Was it busy or not?
There were quite a few people.
Because I've never, believe it or not, apart from when we did that thing with Sharon Osbourne on the bus before the royal wedding, royal wedding, the coronation, I'd never actually even been inside the Ritz. I don't know why. I haven't avoided it. I've never been inside it.
It's very nice. Staff are lovely.
I've always wanted to.
Well, we'll go to the Rivoli bar very soon.
We should.
The price is notwithstanding. So we sat down for a soothing cocktail, and I had a vodka martini, and Henrietta had a Bloody Mary.
Right.
Two drinks. 50 quid.
That is ridiculous.
25 quid.
I must admit, those kinds of stories, like how much it costs to buy jackets and how much.
Yeah.
There is a different world. I was really.
It's welcome to fucking London, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I was really pleased with Sunday Times. You see this new hotel they've opened up called Raffles.
Yeah,
I think it's part of the Raffles chain, presumably the same as the one in Singapore.
Another one of the. All these hotels are seven grand.
Mega rich, ridiculous kind of prices. And I looked at this piece and I looked at the website, and the rooms don't look anything special, but it's like minimum £1,000 or something.
Yeah, that's minimum.
Minimum.
That's Raffles, plenty of rooms are, fairly average.
It's the cheapest room.
£7,000 a night.
And there is this thing. I mean, I know this is going to sound ridiculously petty, but I went. Because I thought I might as well get it cleaned. I've had it for a year, my raincoat, and just as the rain started to fall this week, took it into the dry cleaners. I said, how much to clean that? He went, 18 quid. I was like, what? I only paid
clean
like
it myself.
Quid for it. Are you fucking joking?
Clean it myself.
It seems a bit expensive. And of course, everybody I tell this story says, why don't you just wash it? I said, I'm not washing a fucking raincoat, which I probably could. But, everything does seem to have got ridiculously expensive.
As I say, £4,200 for a jacket. 50 quid
was
for
that Ralph Lauren?
Yeah. 50 quid for two drinks. Welcome to fucking London.
Yeah.
£7,000 for a night in a
Never mind
hotel.
Free Palestine. What about free fucking London?
You know, there's
clutches of these bastards.
But they'll go, oh, London is fading as a world centre. Fucking
no, bloody isn't.
Bollocks, is it? There are
everywhere I go, it's fucking rammed with people.
Yeah, and right now, there are seven brand new hotels opening up in London, including Raffles.
Right.
And all of them, there's not a room you can get there for less than £1,000 a night.
Well, don't tell the Home Office because they might start putting fucking migrants
Office. But what about that guy?
7,000 a night.
Yeah. Fuck what about this guy talking about lots of money? Mm. This guy, his name is Graham King.
They're
calling him the King of the Migrant Hotels.
Yeah.
He's got
smart guy.
His company last year made £1.3 billion out of the Home Office. To accommodate migrants.
Incredible.
So he's finding all these fucking cheaper hotels to put migrants in. He's also going into the disused air-based business.
Right.
He's going to set up big centres for them. He's got a personal fortune of £60 million. As I say, his company last year made £1.3 billion from the Home Office.
But
guess when his contract runs still?
Go on.
2029.
Yes. Well, we better make sure that we've stopped the boats by then.
Yeah, well, they're not going to.
Another fucking 6-year
contract. They've got no fucking intention of stopping the boats.
Because they fucking can't. This guy, right, is probably one of the smartest guys. She put him in charge of the Treasury because he used to run a caravan park in Canvey Island.
And discos.
In Canvey Island, right, which is hardly a money spinner. And he's very smart because when he found out he wasn't getting his licence renewed, he went, I'll tell you what, I'll put some migrants up then instead. And he got permission to do it and he's never looked back.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So if you remember, it was back in March, 8 months ago, Rishi Sunak stood behind that lectern with Stop the Boats.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Home Office, his Home Office, is making a deal with Graham King, and he's not the only one. Mm. There are many others out there like this, that runs until 2029. That's the true story.
Yeah.
The government, maybe it wants to stop the boats, but it knows it is not going to.
No, absolutely, absolutely fucking ridiculous. And of course, this week we've heard that they're going to start moving them out of these luxury hotels. And I know luxury is probably a slightly overused word, but some of them look pretty
good. They are luxury.
I mean, I've stayed, for example, in Britannia hotels, which are housing a lot of them, and I wouldn't call them luxury by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, I stayed Not really, no. I stayed in one in Liverpool.
That's a shit fucking
hotel. I stayed in the one in Liverpool, which is fucking awful, and apparently it's been there since the beginning of time. But it was the only hotel I've ever been to where they wouldn't let me. I'd just done a live show up there, and it was me and my daughter and a couple of people who wanted to come in for a drink who weren't staying there. They wouldn't let us bring people into the fucking place to have a drink. And they had bouncers on the out, and I was like, what the fuck? I stayed in one in Canary Wharf once because I was getting my place redecorated. And I walked down the corridor, and as I was walking down the corridor, it was really fucking hot. For some reason, they couldn't control the temperature. I walked past this fucking room. They're making a porn film.
Yeah.
These guys with fucking, you know, huge, you know, fucking lights, cameras, a couple shagging
arseholes
on the bed.
Going up.
Yeah, just shagging on the bed. The fucking door's open. And I'm going, what the fuck's going
fucking
on here?
Fucking Rule Britannia,
yeah,
right?
Rule Britannia. But some of them, though, in these kind of country estate type hotels, they're fucking lovely.
Yeah. And anyway, even if the migrants don't like the Britannia hotels, fuck off and pay for your own fucking hotels if you don't like it.
Exactly.
This is out of control, as you say. Government now.
Well, it's one thing to offer, you know, succour and comfort to people. I mean, I can't believe we're actually even having a conversation about, you know, should we help the Palestinians to come here and fucking seek refuge? No, we shouldn't. Because we've already got fucking loads of people coming here from God knows where.
Yeah.
And we're not just saying, come to this country, we'll see if we can help you out temporarily. We're putting them in fucking hotels.
Yeah.
It's madness.
Yeah, I know. I'll tell you another fucker who blatantly, shamelessly supports Palestine and hates Israel is General Secretary of the United Nations, Gutierrez, an absolute massive fuckwit.
Yes.
Fucking left-wing fuckwit.
Well, they all are at the UN.
Palestine-supporting fuckwit.
I mean, everybody at the UN hates Israel. I mean,
yeah, they condemn Israel about twice a week, every week,
right.
Before this latest horrible saga. Mm. And Israel is calling for his resignation, quite rightly. I mean, what's he saying?
Saying they're committing war crimes.
Well, they're not. They're not.
Right.
Israel has not committed any war crimes. It's as simple as that. You are allowed to lay siege to your enemy, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Their enemy, Hamas, seeks to hide in fucking Gaza.
Right.
Therefore, Israel is not committing a war crime by A, bombing Gaza, and B, laying siege to it. It is not collective.
But you know what's happened? I mean, when I used to do an overnight show on TalkSport years ago, obviously it was a phone-in show. It was a great kind of, you know, window on the world of conspiracy theories, and people would ring up and say fucking 9/11 was an inside job and fucking, you know, man never landed on the moon. But the one subject that I gave up talking about was the fucking Gaza versus Israel problem, Palestine-Israel, because you don't ever get anywhere.
No.
All you end up with is people who already disagree with you, continue to disagree with you, and calling you a fucking Zionist if you happen to support Israel, and calling you a fucking terrorist if you happen to support Palestine. It goes absolutely fucking nowhere, and I mean, as much as we have to talk about it for a living, I just don't, I certainly privately, when I'm out with people, if they want to start having a row about it, I just go, do you know what? I'm not doing it.
It's a polarised argument.
It's intractable
as well. It's a polarised argument.
And they're never going to solve it. When we die, they'll still be fucking fighting over it, right?
You're right about it.
We interrupt this programme for a special news bulletin.
Have you ever heard this? That is the sound of another sale on Shopify. It's the all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your own business. It's revolutionising millions of businesses worldwide. And whether you're selling what we sell, Kev, or whether you're selling all sorts of other things, it simplifies selling online and even in person so you can successfully grow your business, whatever it is. It covers every sales channel you've got, from a shopfront ready system to the all-in-one e-commerce platforms that all of us use. It even gets you selling across social media marketplaces like Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. And it's full of industry-leading tools ready to just set you off and ignite all of the growth that you need. Shopify will give you complete control over your business and your brand, Kev, without learning new skills in design or even in coding. And thanks to 24/7 help with an extensive business course library, Shopify can support you and your success every single step of the way. No matter how big you want to grow, no matter how little you want to grow, Shopify will be there to empower you with confidence and control to take your business to the next level. So here's what we've got for you. It's a great offer here. You know, when you listen to the Thought Police, you're probably already into much of your own businesses, right? And it's time to get serious about selling. So get Shopify today. This is possibility. Powered by Shopify. So here's what you do. Sign up for a £1 a month trial period at shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice, all in lowercase. So go to shopify.co.uk/thoughtpolice to take your business to the next level today. It's a special offer. It's only for Thought Police listeners. And this is, of course, the Thought Police podcast.
Let's talk about those other wankers, Just Stop Oil.
Fuck me.
They're back in the news.
So as we speak, they've just fucking pissed a load of orange paint all over Wellington.
Let's get some orange paint, man.
All over Wellington Arch. Right. And this follows yesterday in terms of, what is it today? Fucking Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Yesterday, these three cunts who ran onto the Lords.
Oh, yeah.
And particularly one of them who got carried off by Johnny Best, the England wicketkeeper, and put orange paint all over the pitch. Well, they got sentenced yesterday. They all got 1 year community orders.
So they're not going to jail.
Send the fuckers to jail. How are we going to fucking stop these cunts doing this shit if we don't send them to jail? When we started sending those fucking wankers from Insulate Britain to jail, Insulate Britain ceased to exist.
Exactly.
Same for Extinction Rebellion. They're very quiet now since we started sending them to jail. Start sending Just Stop Oil to jail. When we let them off the fucking hook, because left wing judges go, oh man, it's all about the client. It's all right to break the law if it's in service of the client.
Right.
Well,
people, by the way, who say it's not all right to vandalise or otherwise damage ULEZ cameras or park in front of them or park behind
them. Cunts.
Well, you're fucking committing exactly the same crime. So at least let's have some consistency. If you're not going to lock up Just Stop Oil, then don't lock up the ULEZ.
Yeah, well, if you don't lock up Just Stop Oil people who deface and vandalise monuments, who run onto sporting events and wreck them, then they're going to fucking do it again, aren't they, you daft cunts?
I know.
Fucking send them to fucking prison. Factor. Give them 10 years. Yeah. That'll be a laugh. I'd like to see their fucking smug middle class faces there.
The more I think about it, the more I'm in favour of sort of Devil's Island style fucking jail. Yeah. Put it in the fucking North Sea. Yeah. Even construct it if you want, if you don't want to ruin some nice idyllic Scottish island that nobody lives on. But there's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Make them fucking just go there, but with nothing.
I'll take them. Right?
Put them on a fucking island and see how they do.
It better still, just take them to the North Sea and put them into the North Sea without an island.
Yeah, well, you could
see
do
how
that.
They get on. Yeah, you know, swim your fucking way home. Fuckers.
I know.
I mean, you know, it's just ridiculous. And why are they all white and middle class? Because they got nothing else to do.
They're the only people who have got absolutely no worries in the world. Most of them come from
Tunbridge Wells,
good backgrounds. Most of them have been to private school. You know, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. People in private schools these days are actually the most woke because they've got the least to worry about. So they worry about their gender. They worry about whether they're woke enough. They worry about refugees. They worry about the climate. And they get up and they're fucking terrified every day because of things that aren't actually very scary. They've made them scary.
Yeah, and they go, well, why don't people follow us? Why don't they believe in our cause? I tell you, because working class people, hard-working people trying to get by, feed their kids, keep a roof over their head, drive their car, maybe go on holiday to Spain once a year. They don't give a fuck about the climate.
They don't
give a fuck about the climate emergency because there's no proof we are in an emergency.
No, well, we're not in an emergency. It's as simple as that. But they haven't got the fucking time to worry about it because they're too busy keeping their fucking heads above the water, trying to make sure that they can pay their astoundingly expensive fucking electricity bills and their ridiculously expensive council tax bills, which just keep going up and fucking up and fucking up.
Yeah, you know, getting worked up about the alleged climate emergency is a middle class luxury that most people can't afford.
No, exactly. And also, with all of the work that has been done so far, because we have somehow decarboned Britain, I think, by some massive amount in the past 20 odd years. Well, if that isn't working, then what's the fucking point of doing it?
That's a fucking...
You know, really, because we've been flooded, so that must be climate change. No, not at all.
Also,
you know, the fucking Ice Age was around before Land Rovers were. You know, what the fuck happened to that?
Yeah, and also, you know, as you quite rightly say, Mike, let's not dwell on the Middle East, but look, the horrors going on in the Middle East, the world on the edge... You know, this is a really, really serious situation unfolding over there.
Oh, it's massive.
Yeah,
massive.
And these fucking middle class pricks here expect us to go, we've got a climate emergency, 10 years is all we've got. Fucking, it'll be considerably less than 10 years the way we're going in the Middle East. This is not important compared to the important issues that are pressing the world right fucking now. This climate change shit right now is particularly annoying. In fact, I think it's insulting to the people of Britain.
I agree. It could not be more fucking misplaced. It could not be more ridiculous for these just-as-well twats to actually demonstrate while there are people worrying for the safety of their families. I mean, you know, when you watch what was going on even just yesterday when these horrible... stories are emerging from the families of the people that have been taken hostage, and these people are still in fucking Gaza being held hostage. The idea that you can even worry about the fucking climate is nonsensical, isn't it?
It really fucking... not now, folks. Leave it.
I said this to you this morning. I mean, I shouldn't have been shocked, but I was slightly taken aback, I must say, just walking up Harley Street, which you know is a very... Is that... Would you call that sort of Marylebone, I suppose?
It's
it's kind of behind John Lewis on Oxford Street.
Marylebone.
There's a lot of Middle Eastern people that live there. There's a lot of Middle Eastern...
Fitzrovia as well.
It's kind of Fitzrovia, isn't it? But not quite. So, you know, to see two police armed with submachine guns is quite a thing to see. Because even in America, you don't really see that. You see people at airports like that, but you don't really see general... You know, armed police walking the streets. I was quite surprised by that.
Well, that's it. You know, for a long time, people say, why don't you get bobbies out on the beat like they used to be? Well, certainly in London, you're beginning to see what you might call bobbies on the streets. Only it wasn't what everybody had in mind. They got fucking machine guns.
Well, I bet you fucking just the boy won't be fucking around with those guys.
Yeah,
gun might go off.
It's not hello, move along now. Nothing really to see here. It's like move along now, or we'll fucking shoot you.
I know, absolutely incredible. Should we talk a bit about the latest news from ITV? One, that Holly Willoughby isn't coming back because we've sort of missed all that. Mm. Also, two, and is she not really coming back?
No, she's quit. She's resigned.
But is she not going to come back and do something else, though?
She says she
was... I mean, I feel sorry for her because nobody should have to put up with the kind of madness of that fucking stalker.
Yeah, well, she just wasn't fucking good enough.
That's not true.
That alleged kidnap plot and the alleged murder plot against her...
Horrible.
That was the straw that broke the camel's back for her, but it wasn't the only reason.
No, I get that. But
she quit because she was failing to save.
Yeah, fair enough. Morning. But I think we shouldn't be too harsh on her because I think any woman should not have to go through that kind of horrible.
I'm not saying that, but that isn't why she quit.
No, okay.
She quit because she was sick.
Like you said,
she was sick of the shit.
It was the final straw.
Sick of the shit.
I think for most people, I mean, if it was your wife or your girlfriend, you would probably say the same.
Yeah,
you know, absolute fucking nightmare. But what I was going to get onto was this now ludicrous idea that if you work for ITV, you have to fucking tell them who you're shagging.
Well, this is because of
fuck.
This is because of Philip Schofield, who of course had.
So what if I was shagging someone from ITV? They'd have to tell them.
Well, it's supposed to be people within the office. So it's about your intercompany relationship. So. Because Philip Schofield had an alleged inappropriate relationship with a much younger member of staff, not alleged, it was a fact, and he lied about it, and he then sort of conceded it was a misuse of his power and quit. Because of that, ITV have now demanded from all staff that they tell them all about.
Yeah,
but
hang on a minute. Because what it does, though, it doesn't actually just include the staff. This is what I'm saying. And I mean, we don't do it so much anymore, but there was a time when you were on it a lot, and I'm very much more rarely. You'd be on GMB, you'd be on Good Morning Britain, you might be on This Morning. Yeah. You know, we know lots of people who still are. It apparently extends to people. Say, for example, I decided to start shagging some woman that works at ITV. They'd have to fucking tell
person
them.
With cervix.
Person with a woman. Person with a cervix, yeah. Person who could menstruating, become pregnant.
Menstruating
a person. Menstruating. Yeah, hopefully menstruating. Anyway, they'd have to tell them, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They'd have to say, oh, by the way, I'm showing that bloke to talk to me.
But if you...
Thanks anyway.
But, you know, that's none of their fucking business.
No.
This is a company. This is fucking Great Britain. It's not North Korea. This is a company saying, tell us who you're sleeping with. Fucking no.
Well, I hope that extends to the upper management, because, I mean, it'd be more interesting for us to know as journalists who the people who run ITV are actually shagging.
But it's not just who you're sleeping with. It's your friendship. So they're saying they demand from the staff that they tell the bosses who their friends in the office are. Well, you think about our office. You know, I pretty much rate myself as friends with everyone in the fucking office. Mm. You know, what am I supposed to say? You know, oh, here's a list of people that I say hello to in the morning.
Or that I have a drink with.
Yeah, it's fucking...
You know. Yeah, well, I'll tell you, there are some people in our office who might be described as slightly more friendly than you, who are doing a lot more with some of the people that work here than you are. And that would make some quite interesting reading, I'm sure.
I can categorically state that. Luckily, I'm not fucking anyone in the Talk TV office yet.
Yeah. And if they all start asking those questions...
I've got a few ideas.
Yeah, I've got a few stories I can tell people, but I'm not saying anything at the moment. So, listen, it's great to be back.
Good to have you back.
I still can't bring anybody any news. And we're going to apologise right now, and it's my fault, because we haven't been able... Because of the way that the day currently breaks now for both of us, it's been really hard to do the old pub... scenario where
we should do one soon though.
We should do another
work it out.
We do another live pub show.
Yeah.
We're thinking about doing a Christmas show if we can fit one in.
Yeah.
So we'll bring you news on that as well. But if you're a Patreon customer, please bear with us. We just have to find more time to be able to sit around and have you watch us doing things as well as listening. Anything else you want to mention?
I just want to say it's great to be back with everybody. Yep. Great to have you all back, but you can still go and fuck yourselves.
Yeah, you can, absolutely right. And don't forget, if you're worried about anything at all,
don't tell us, we don't care.
We must be middle class.
Yeah, middle class.
Because there's more things to worry about than you can sort of fucking sick at. Anyway, we'll see you soon. Don't do anything fucking stupid. This is The Thought Police.